heaven comes to fight for me.
Lord, we're so thankful to be here today, Lord, and I'm so thankful for all of our godly mothers that are here. And I pray that you would bless them. I pray that you'd bless this time now as we open up your word and study, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, Lord, that if there's any here this morning that's been struggling, if there's any here this morning that Lord, is just not in a right relationship with you, I pray right now that your Holy Spirit would begin to convict them, begin to transform them. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So once again, I'm just going to remind everybody, next Sunday we will have children's church and nursery. We'll have to look at the calendar to see who's on the calendar for nursery. We will not have Sunday school next Sunday, but after next Sunday we'll just see how the Lord leads and the changes that are going to happen and go from there. And so today is Mother's Day, but I'm all messed up really, because I hadn't been getting to preach and Sunday morning, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights the way I usually have been. And so today I just we are going to talk about moms a little bit, but it's not going to be our normal Mother's Day message. OK, our normal Mother's Day message is encouraging the moms or getting after the moms, one or the other. OK, and so we're not doing that. OK, but last week we talked about how much God valued you. How much you were loved, the price that God paid for you and for me. And we had our toilet paper and hand sanitizer and all that stuff set up, okay? And so you guys remember that, hopefully. And so, but what I want to ask you today is, what do you value most? Because that's a big question. We learned last week how much God values you, but what do you value most? And if you'll open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. And it's funny because these verses seem like I've just preached on them not too long ago. But I thumbed back through and I went back 3 months, and I know I hadn't preached on them in at least the last 3 months. So if you remember it, then praise God, you were really listening, okay? Matthew 6, verse 19, and it says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." That's the key verse that I want you to remember. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then it goes on to say, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light." I don't know about y'all, but I can tell a lot about where my heart is by where my eyes are going or where they shouldn't be going, okay? And so your eyes tell you what has your heart. Verse 23, "But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." So what I want to jump back to is, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So what do you value today? Last week we talked about how much the price that was paid for you, but I want to ask you, what price are you willing to pay for the things in your life? So I've kind of got a addictive personality, I think, okay? I just can't help it. Like Mountain Dew, I drink Mountain Dew. I drink, you know, way too much. Quit drinking Mountain Dew, started drinking Diet Mountain Dew. Now I drink way too much of that. Started drinking coffee, I'm drinking coffee all the time. It's just the way that I am. And so, like, what else is going on with me? You guys know I'm kind of an open book, and I struggle with things a lot. And so, like, a guy that I deliver to, real nice guys, a couple weeks ago, I see him on his phone, and he's doing this, and he's doing this, and he's at work, and he's usually not doing that. And I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Man, I'm buying stock." I said, "Huh?" He goes, "I'm buying like crazy." He said, "You wouldn't believe how low some of these prices are." And he's just clicking, clicking, clicking. He's got a whole lot of money, you know, but he's buying like crazy. "Man, you really should do this. You really should do this. I'm telling you, you should do it." I said, okay, I downloaded the app. Okay, and so I don't have a lot of money, so I put $20 in to just test it out and see, okay? And so Crystal was kind of making fun of me because one of the stocks that I bought doubled, so I made $2. You know, went from $2 to $4. She's like, oh, hey, we're going to double our $20, you know? And so I transferred some more in, another $100, because I wanted to buy this certain stock, and it wouldn't let you just buy partial stock. So I transferred $100 in to buy this other stock. And before I could get the money, because it takes 3 days, the stock jumped $7. It's like, oh, so I can't buy that stock. So I'm buying this other stock. But what's happening is I'm going, following this and following this. Boy, I wish I had more money. Following this. I wish I had more. I could buy this and I could buy that. Man, if we did this and did this, and I could get a, I just need. Where's my thoughts gone? Where's my heart gone? It's to the stock market. It's to making money. Okay? So where's my heart been for the last couple of weeks? It's watching stock. It's trying to buy. I'm trying to figure out how to get more money to put into the stock market. But then it jumped so much Friday, I think I'll wait. You know? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so what I want to ask you today is, what are the things that you value? What are the things that you're willing to pay for? You know, I was thinking about this, like, I eat fast food a lot when I'm out delivering, okay? And I can get a cheeseburger, fry, and a drink at McDonald's, and it was like $3.62 or something like that. And then after they raised minimum wage, everything went up, and I think it got to like $4.10, okay? That's all I want to spend at McDonald's. If you get a value meal there now, they're like $9 or $10. I don't want to spend that much. Why? Because it's McDonald's, okay? I don't want to spend that much. But now if I go to Longhorn or I go to Texas Roadhouse or something and I get a really good steak, I'm okay with spending a little bit more for a good steak. But I don't want to spend $15 at McDonald's for a cheeseburger and fry. What I value is if I get a good meal, I'm willing to pay a little bit more than a bad Subway. Oh my goodness. Sorry, Subway, if anybody from Subway sees this. I ate at Subway last week because it was the only place in Paris that I could get to. There was no other place that, you know, they say they're making accommodation for truck drivers. They're not. Subway's the only place that I could get into and get food. It's $12! $12! I about fell over. $12 for this? You know? So if something's really good, I don't mind paying it. But when it's just mediocre, I really don't want to pay for it like that. But I was thinking, so I'm willing to pay for a good steak, but do I value God enough? Am I willing to pay the price to know what I need to do to have the right relationship with my Heavenly Father? Am I willing to pay the price? I knew a man years ago. He had a wife and two kids, little kids at home. He worked a full-time job, had a good job, but he wanted a new truck. So you know what he did? He got a job as a waiter and worked weekends as a waiter and maybe one or two nights a week, I can't remember, to be able to make this truck payment because he wanted that truck so bad. So he took away from his family. He worked already a full-time job. He was a boss at a place. And took away from his family his weekends and some of his evenings because he valued that new truck so much that that's what he wanted. So he put in the effort and worked and got it. So where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I wonder how many of us were treasuring all these things in the world, but we're not really treasuring God. We're not really treasuring our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Matthew 13, verse 44 says, "The kingdom of heaven is like hidden treasure in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and when his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field." So let me say that again. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. It goes on in verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he finds one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. See, that's the way that we should be with the kingdom of heaven now. That we're willing to put aside everything else to seek our heavenly Father. That we value our relationship with God so much that we lay aside the stock market. We lay aside our trucks. We lay aside our jobs. We lay aside everything else because we're so consumed with wanting to know our Heavenly Father. Is this making sense at all this morning? You guys, I know it's been a while since we've had to get up on Sunday mornings, but go ahead and give me a smile and stretch and be awake here. And y'all, we should be seeking God the way that this describes, as a treasure hidden in a field, as a fine pearl. And I wonder how many of us, with our relationship with God, this stands true, or are we like me with the stock market? I've been consumed by it. Like I've been with looking at trucks before, I get consumed by it, and that takes up my heart instead of where God should be the number one relationship in my life. Do we value our relationship with God the way that we value knowledge? You know, I know some people, they'll continue their education. They read books. They're always studying. We want our children to go to college. We want them to be educated. We in our society value that so much. We value if they hit a home run. We value if they make the game-winning shot. We value our money that we're willing to work weekends and nights. We value our food. We value our things. And we're willing to do whatever it takes to get what we value. But are we willing to sacrifice everything for our relationship with our Heavenly Father? Proverbs 8:17 says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. I've always thought that verse was very interesting. I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. Have any of y'all ever been like, man, I hadn't heard from God? It's like God's silent. I'm not hearing from Him anymore. Well, have you really been seeking Him? Have you really got on your knees? Have you really opened up the Word? Have you really fasted? Have you really prayed? Have you done what's necessary? Have you really sought Him the way that we seek after our knowledge in our schools and our learning for our whatever, you know, sports or mechanics or whatever it would be? Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So are you seeking God with all of your heart? Is your relationship with God valuable enough that you're seeking Him with all your heart this morning? Mark 3:25 says, if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. See, what we value most usually wins, whether we admit it or not. And if we're divided with the things of this world, that usually seems to be what wins out in most of our lives instead of God. A house divided will not stand. And I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I'm so divided in my mind. I'm so divided in my thoughts. Things grab a hold of me and I get consumed by them. And, you know, whether it's a money or stock market or new trucks or sickness or news or media or my job or whatever, I get so caught up in that I'm so divided that the day can go by and I was like, man, I really didn't spend any time with the Lord. I haven't studied. I haven't prayed. Then days go by and I really hadn't studied. I really hadn't prayed. And then weeks go by and I really hadn't studied and I really hadn't prayed because I'm so consumed with what's got a hold of me. A house divided will not stand. Luke 21. I am going to go fast here, okay? And this message, these few verses here are really important to me. Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. I preached on this several years ago. And there are certain sermons sometimes that the Lord speaks to my heart so much that it just stays with me. Okay? And then I was invited to go to another church and preach a few years ago. And I just said, no, I can't. I'm sorry. You know, it's hard to find somebody to preach here or fill in for me. And I just said no. And almost as soon as I hung up the phone from being invited to preach to that at that church, the Lord said, "You didn't ask me." And he said, "You have a message for that church that needs to be heard." And it was these verses here that the Lord told me to go and preach. And so I called him back and I said, "I'll be there and let me get things worked out." And we made a schedule and I went and preached these few verses here. But this is for you moms, okay? These verses here this morning, and it goes right along with what you value. Luke 21, verses 1 through 4, and it says, "As he looked up, Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. I tell you the truth, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all of these others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had to live on." What I want to talk to you guys for just a few minutes, you moms, is giving out of your poverty. And that's what the message was for this other church, was giving out of your poverty. See, why would you give out of your poverty? And I was thinking about all the moms and all that they have to give out of their poverty, out of their exhaustion. They may be exhausted, but they got to cook dinner. They have to change a diaper. They have to do the laundry. They have to do all these things, and they might be exhausted from the day. And I thought of mothers at work and the moms at work, and then they feel guilty because they're not at home. And they come home and they still have to help with homework. They still have to cook. They still have to clean. They still have duties to take care of at home. And they're just exhausted and they're in their poverty. Does that make sense? When I say poverty, you're exhausted, but you still give. And I think of the moms that stay home and the poverty that they have. And it's a different kind of poverty than a mom that works. And they've been at home with their kids all day and they might not have any adult conversations. And others sometimes, moms both ways. If you work, some moms look down on you. "Oh, you should be at home with your kids." If you don't work and you stay home, "Oh, people look down on you. You should be working and send them." You know, moms got it rough. Amen. You got it rough sometimes. You can't win for lose. And out of your poverty, the moms that stay at home sometime, they've been with their kids all day, and yet it just becomes a routine where they're just give, give, give. And sometimes you just give out of your exhaustion. And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about all the moms and all that they do for us and all that they're willing to do. Well, why do they do it? It's because they love. It's because they love so much. Because they value so much. They value those babies. They value their husbands. They value what they're doing. What they're doing means something to them. And so that's why they're willing to give out of their exhaustion. They're willing to give out of their poverty. They're willing to give when everything's done. And you know, my wife gets mad at me if I talk about her. But yesterday, I was in the living room and I was reading, studying and everything. And she got up and I wasn't paying attention, and I was just reading my Bible and studying, and all at once I heard bacon frying, and I looked over, and she's cooking breakfast for everybody. I said, "What are you doing?" She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "It's Mother's Day weekend. Why are you cooking?" She's like, "Well, I really hadn't thought about it, you know." And I'm like, "You know, well, if I'm cooking, it's a bowl of cereal. But hey, I can fix you a bowl of cereal, you know. But it's just habit to do it. That's just what she did, you know." But y'all, and our moms sometimes are just worn out and they're tired mentally, physically, they're exhausted. But because they value us, because they value their children so much, they're still willing to give. Proverbs 31, and I think last year I preached on the whole chapter 31 for Mother's Day, and I encourage you to go home and maybe read the whole chapter, but due to our children all being up here and our nursery kids all up here, I'm going to cut it short, okay? Proverbs 31:26, it says, "She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue." And I think last year I talked to you moms about making sure that there is faithful instruction on your tongues, because your children are listening. They're always listening, whether you know it or not, they're listening. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Have you, you know, sometimes it seems like for a mom, their work is never done. There's always something to do, and they're always busy. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. So, moms, I hope you got good children. That's probably not really proper English there. Hope you got. But children, you know, I heard a message years ago. Travis Ballard preached it here, and it still stands out. I don't know how many years ago that's been, probably 6-7 years, and it still stood out so much. I thought it was so wonderful that he said how Mother's Day brings so many different emotions for you that's lost your moms, and it could bring great sadness because you miss your mom so much. For young women or women that's never been able to have children and the longing to have children, and it can bring up different emotions for them. And it was so wonderfully put. Travis said it a whole lot better than I'm saying it right now, but it just really made me think of it in a different way. But I encourage you today, if you have a mother that's alive, to honor her, to show her love, to show her respect. Give her a call. Go see her. Do what you can. And maybe if you had a mom that's no longer here, you can just thank God for the mom that she was, the lessons that she's taught you. But this morning, we would like to honor you mothers that are here. And so let's pray, and then we're not going to do an altar call. But after we're done praying, I'm going to shut off the camera, and I'll give your kids instructions on how to pass out these gifts to each one of you. Father, we're so thankful. Lord, I pray that the first half of this message about what do we value most, Lord, that each one of us would understand that our relationship with you, we should value above all others, that we should be seeking you. Lord, just as that merchant was seeking the fine pearl and the treasure in the field that was found, Lord, that each and every one of us would be seeking you with a diligent heart each and every day, that we would continue to maintain our relationship with you above all others. Lord, that if we become double-minded in the things of this world, the things that bring us pleasure in the flesh have so caught our hearts, that right now we would repent of it, that we would turn to you, Lord, that we would begin to seek you once again. And Father, for all the mothers that are here, all the mothers that will be listening, Lord, I'm so thankful for the godly moms, the godly grandmothers that have lived out such a godly example, that have given us instructions and guidance throughout our lives. And Lord, I pray that you would bless them. Lord, that they would feel your love, that they would feel your presence, that you would just bless them abundantly this day and in the weeks to come, that you would bring encouragement upon them, Lord, when they're tired, when they're weary, when they feel like they're in the poverty. Lord, that just as this poor widow gave out of her poverty, that they would continue to give out of those times, Lord, and know that someday they'll reap a harvest of blessings for all the love and kindness that they've shown. We ask all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.